be seated. Woo! That's pretty awesome stuff. Wow. Glad you're here this morning. Glad you've come to worship and be part of what God's doing here at Covenant Church. When you say the word, or when you hear the word church in a conversation, what's your first thought? Because I'll be really honest with you this morning. Sometimes, you know, when people are asking, you know, where's the church? Where's your church? I mean, I don't typically say, well, we're scattered all over Oldham County, which would be true. Almost 100% of the time, I say something about, the brick and mortar. You know, that we're located, a specific location of 909 West Jefferson Street in LaGrange. And I think that's, you know, I guess if we're honest, we probably, maybe most of us do that. You know, we say, well, when we talk about the church, we're talking about a location. We're talking about our building. You know, we get dressed in the morning. We drive, you know, whatever, however long it is to get here. We come in and we find our seat. Did you hear that? Our seat, and unless you're trying to trick me, and then some of you who've been sitting over here, you go over there, and I don't think they were, Mel and I talked the next day, I don't think they were there. Oh yeah, they were over on the other side. But yeah, we come in, we find our seat in the church, and it's so, what I know is that it's so easy for us to lose sight of the fact that the church isn't a building. It's us. It's people. And I don't ever want us to lose sight of that. And that's why Paul writes this letter to the church in Ephesus. He doesn't want the church to miss it. It's not about a building. It's not about, Paul, when the writers of the scriptures were writing the word, they weren't, when they were talking about the church, they weren't talking about a building. They weren't talking about a place. They were talking about God's people. It's God's people who are the church. Paul writes to the gathered Jesus followers, the church, and talks to them about what it means to be the people of God. So we're gonna look at these first 10 verses of Ephesians. It's in your bulletin this morning. Or if you have your Bibles, I'd encourage you to grab your Bibles and look at your Bibles as I read these verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander and powers of the unseen world. He is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. Let me pause there. Let's dig into those first three verses. Paul is offering the church at Ephesus a reminder. He's saying, church, gathered followers of Jesus, people of God, this is how you used to be. Notice that. He's not saying this is how you are right now. Because you have given your heart to Jesus, because you have surrendered your life to Him, this is how you were. Dead in your trespasses and your sin, your disobedience and your sin. Paul says that means that they didn't have any spiritual pulse whatsoever. They might be alive physically, but spiritually, there was no life there. Now, before Jesus, and because of sin, Paul wants the people of Ephesus, and it filters down to us here 2,000 years later to understand that indeed we are human, we are all broken, and we all need Jesus. That's what he wants them to understand, that before Jesus, that's the case. We're disobedient and sinful. And I say that, and I'm like, whoa, Pastor Mike, you just used the S word in church. You said that word sin. Oh, we don't say that anymore. If we talk about sin, that could be offensive to people. And we don't want to offend anybody. Can't help it. Amen. You know, one of my favorite sayings is too bad, so sad. You know, what was sin 2,000 years ago is still sin today. Amen. And the word sin means to miss the mark. And it's an archery term. And so if you have ever shot a bow and arrow at a target, hopefully you've at least come close to it. Maybe you've hit it. That's the point, right? When you have a bow and arrow, is to hit the target. And so you pull back that and you just, say you just miss it by just a shade. Listen, if you missed it by a shade, you might have well as missed it by a mile because you still missed it. And that's what Paul is trying to say to the church, that before Jesus, we missed the mark over and over and over again. And even as a child of God, there are times in our lives where we mess up. I don't, maybe you don't ever mess up. You know what? If that's the case, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But there are certain days, man, I get a little messed up. My attitude gets a little off, a little crazy. We mess up. We miss the mark. See, God's mark is the ideal is that God has a plan for our lives. He wants us to be in relationship with Him. He wants us to know that our sins are forgiven. God has a plan for our lives, and to miss the mark means that we are missing God's best plan for our life. Because that was the case, and Paul wanted the Ephesian church to understand, because that's where life was, because of that, we all need God's grace. And that's what Paul's trying to share with the church in these first three verses. Here's an interesting thing about our culture today. Over 60% of the U.S. population, adult population, have this understanding that if we are generally good, or if we do enough good things, that we can find a safe place for eternity in heaven. That blows my mind. 6 out of 10 believe that if we do enough good things, or if we're good people, we can secure that place in heaven. We live in a very performance-oriented culture. We're trained to believe in the American dream. Let's go after it. Let's go get it. That hard work gets us what we want. We go to school, we study through the night. Why? To get good grades. Why? To be successful. I pulled plenty of all-nighters for good grades, thinking that I could be, you know, that would be some kind of an approval stamp. We put in extra hours at work for the chance to get a bigger raise or to advance in our career. So we've been conditioned in our culture today to believe that effort equals reward. I don't know. You know, you think about it, and people today have this idea that if they can get good marks on the chart. God's got this little chart up. God's got this little chart in heaven. Looks, instead of I did it, it says Mike did it. And it's so, oh, I read my Bible today. Cool, I get a star there. I did my devos and I prayed 2 days in a row. Oh, cool, I get 2 stars. I didn't blame others. I was kind and generous. I used nice words. I didn't cuss. Treated others with respect. What's that? I didn't speed or yell at really bad drivers on the highways. So somehow we've come under this understanding that if we do good enough things and we get enough stars on the chart, that God somehow approves of us. That we can gain His favor. And Paul's like, whoa, church. That is not how it works. That's not the way this is put together. God isn't up there checking off boxes. Perhaps we have come to that, you know, I had that idea that if I can just put away enough of the bad habits, God's going to approve and give me the gold star in the box that day. There are lots of people like that. Maybe you know some. Maybe you are one. Lots of people who long to fill up this spiritual void in their life with stuff and get an approval star from God. We try to fill that void in our life by doing good things, by being active in civil projects or feeding the hungry or giving clothes to the Agape store or going to High Point and doing our thing there. And we somehow believe that we can fill up the spiritual void inside of us by doing those kind of good things. Maybe we've volunteered with Habitat. Maybe we've gone on mission trips or multiple mission trips, doing service type things, longing to find some kind of fulfillment. And Paul's like, look, church, it does not work that way. There are all kinds of people who have high morals, who are kind and loving and caring and law-abiding citizens that would do anything for anyone, but who are really, in reality, people that Paul describes here, spiritually dead, because of their trespasses and their sin. That's what Paul is warning the church. Church, this is how you were. Before Jesus, this is what life was like. So, church, I want to just want to say this. As people of God, as followers of Jesus, never, ever forget who you were before Jesus. Never, ever forget that. But then there's this second thing that Paul allows us to see. Paul offers us this second piece that I want us to look at in verses 4 to 10. So if you grab your Bibles or grab your bulletin back and let's look at this. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much. So this you were this way, but something's happened here. But God has shown up. And this is how you are right now. As a follower of Christ, this is how you are. This is who you are. He's so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by grace that you've been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that He's done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift of God. Wow. It's a gift of God. So that none of us can boast about it. For we are His, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He has planned for us long ago. I love this word from Paul. This reminder to the church. This reminder to the people of God. This reminder to you and me 2,000 years later after he wrote it. This is how you were. This is who you are now. Because of God's grace poured out into our lives. But God. Did you catch that? Beginning of verse 4. If you got a pen or a pencil, or if you can steal one out of one of the attendance pads, circle that, those two words in your Bible. Put, I don't know, stars beside them. But God. But God showed up and in His amazing grace, in His amazing love, He poured His life into us. And He, what does verse 5 say? He made us alive in Christ Jesus. We were dead, now we're alive because of Christ Jesus. Woo! I don't know, man. That's pretty awesome stuff. You know, we were lost. We were in darkness. We were trapped in sin. We needed to be rescued, but God showed up. He revealed His love for us. He revealed His choice of us. He revealed His design for us. That's God. Jesus went to a cross for us, but God. Jesus shed His blood for us, but God. So that we can have new life. Verses 5 through and 8 talk about the grace of God. That we're never good enough. Grace is getting something that we don't deserve. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve God's love. He just loves us. God so loved the world. He just loves us. He loves the world. Every person in these doors, every person in LaGrange, every person in Oldham County, in America, around the world, He loves every person. And He pours out His grace into their lives. No matter how lost they think they might be, no matter how far from God they think they are, God pours His grace and allows us, as someone said, to have God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. He made us alive. He raised us up. He removes our deadness. Our lives have been changed forever by His grace. He seats us with Him in heavenly places. We become, listen to this, church, we become trophies of His grace. And verses 8 and 9 are really clear. Verses 8 and 9 says, look, this is not because of anything we do. We cannot do enough good things. We have no room to boast about anything that happens in our lives. Life change happens because of God's grace being poured into us. Verse 10 says that we're God's masterpiece. Where's masterpiece? Changed to bring Him glory and honor Him with our lives. Now listen, we can't earn God's love with our good deeds. However, because we are God's masterpiece, we can display God's love to the world around us. Can't earn it, but because we're His masterpiece, because He's working on us, we can display it to the world around us. Whew. Okay. There is a... I got it, Janice. I'm just going to go with this. Janice played a note for me earlier and so I could do what I'm going to do. And I said, look, you play the note, and if it's supposed to be flat, don't worry about it. I can do it. I can make it flat. And so she played the note, and I think I probably flattened it out pretty well. I don't know. But there's a great old chorus that we used to sing a lot. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And I'm going to sing that. And as you feel comfortable in joining in to sing that, I want you to sing it with me. We're going to sing an a cappella. We're just going to sing it. And I want you to close your eyes. I want you to bow your head. And I want you to mean this as a prayer. And then we're going to celebrate remembering our baptism. Remembering the grace of God poured into our lives, church. So just close your eyes and let's sing this together. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. That's a powerful prayer. It's a powerful prayer. I think back to that moment in my life when I gave my heart to Jesus, and I said, I want to be baptized. I'm sure I understand it all, but what I know is my heart is His, and He is mine. And it was an act of God's grace in a way that washed over me like I can't even explain it. And I love moments like this in our church where we can do what we call remember your baptism. And it's just a moment that we get to say publicly once again, I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, I'm still going. I'm going with Him. And so this morning we have that opportunity to come down here. There's two stations, so you can come down in two rows, or you can come as, I don't know, just come. We're not going to direct you. This is a movement of the Holy Spirit in this place. And you can come down and you can symbolically take that water, you can wash your hands, you can put it on your face, you can put it on your head, you can make a cross. But these moments are powerful times to remember the grace of God that was real for each one of us, that changed us from dead to alive. And I want you to know you're welcome at this table to come and do that, to come and remember that moment of baptism. Now, if you don't want to, that's cool. If you want to and you want to spend some time at the altar after that and pray, do it. But it's a time for you to come and remember what Jesus has done in your life. That he has brought you from death to life. So you're welcome here this morning. Anything I forgot? Because that's easy to do for me. So we're just going to step back. Oh, I know what it was. Maybe you've never been baptized before. If you've never been baptized, I want you to step out of line. You talk to Mel or myself, and we're going to stop everything right then. And while the body's together, we'll baptize you. So if you're here this morning, you've never been baptized, you've never acknowledged that, hey, Jesus is Lord of my life, I've asked him into my life and I want to follow him, you've never acknowledged that God's grace crashed into your life, here's the moment. So you can do that. If you're here this morning, you're like, Pastor Mike, that is the most confusing thing I've ever heard today. That I was dead and I could be alive and there's grace and there's salvation and Jesus went to the cross. I don't know, get it all. Okay, step out of line and ask us. Because I promise you, one of us will explain that to you. We'll pray with you until you get it. Because, man, we don't want you to leave without getting it. So this is a time for you and God to really mean what you just sang. That you decided, and who cares if anybody's going with me, I'm going. So you're welcome to come as God's Spirit leads you to come.